We are virtually remote tonight. Welcome to Steel and Nash, presented by Hedge Better, sponsored by the Law Office of Patrick J. Foley, Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, and the Follow House Cafe. I'm sure throughout the program, we'll be touching each one. Quite the slate tonight. I think we've been hiatus for about 3 weeks now since the studio closed. I think producer or someone, ran out of money over there. No, I'm just kidding, but I'll not be there anymore.
Sad.
Yeah. Well, we got the Pats, Bills. You got the matchup of, the year so far this year.
Let's fucking go.
College football playoffs just got announced. There's a couple.
Also, let's fucking go.
Bruins, Celtics thrown in. I'll throw it out to our first sponsor. Right here in the forefront. If you're looking for a place to go watch the Bills at Patriots, just bottom line, Sunday, look no other than Drifter's Kitchen and Bar. They have great brunch options. We showcased them during our live show a couple of months ago. Great spot there, located at, believe it is 1464 Hancock Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Great spot there for some great brunch and great eats there. Let it rip that. Let's hop right into it. Patriots coming off the bye week at 11-2. They won 10 straight games. What is the state of Mike Steele when it comes to New England Patriots right now?
Couldn't be better. It's the 11-2. Yeah. Seeing the shit you got like ESPN's power rankings, like we're one. Not that those like matter, but it's like we were just hoping to bounce back this year and be like somewhat of a playoff team, like we're the number one seed in the AFC currently.
Yeah, no, it seems like we're definitely playing with a little house money, but at what point do you say fuck this house money? This is a wide open, I don't even call it AFC anymore. I call it a wide open NFL of where you can get to a spot in the playoffs. I mean, one thing at a time, as Coach Mike Vrabel said earlier this week, we're set out to win the AFC East. The next week, who knows what's going to happen, and therefore most. But some people can say, we weren't supposed to be here. But now that we're already here, I feel like fuck the house money. This is the time to get more greedy.
No, 100%. You didn't think we would be here? Fine. Fuck you. We're here. Yeah. welcome.
We're playing for the AFC. Before we get to this big matchup Sunday, going into the, records of the NFL, the Broncos currently win the tiebreaker at the, number one seed in the AFC right now, and then the Jags leaders in the South. You got the Steelers there at 7-6. Chargers had won an impressive but mind-blowing game by the Eagles. We'll get to that. And then the Bills right there in the sixth seed. So it's really open there for the take. And if you can win out or even go 3-1 these last four games here, you got Buffalo, Baltimore, the Jets, and Miami to end the season.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch to end the year, but
yeah,
it's what you waited all year for. This is why you kick the shit out of all the little teams, suck bag teams, so you can play these games.
Yeah, and going back to their game against Buffalo, that was what, week four, week five. So I think each team is a lot different now. I think the Patriots have only been going up, obviously winning 10 in a row. Buffalo kind of saves themselves last week with a big fourth quarter comeback against the Bengals. But besides Josh Allen, their defense hasn't really shown out. Like I said, outside of that fourth quarter there, if it wasn't for that game, they would be in uphill battle at 8-5. Now they're sitting kind of pretty, at least wild card wise, 9-4 with, if they get this win here, who knows what can happen in the AFC East.
Yep. Yeah. And it's been difficult. Particularly Josh Allen has gone full Josh Allen the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. That 50 yard run was absolutely crazy.
He has reverted back to MVP candidate level the past couple weeks, where he kind of reverted back to the old Josh Allen of what are we going to get tonight?
I know. But, and they keep talking about how great of a back James Cook is. James Cook is great. Don't get me wrong, but he's nothing without the option of, we're not going to go to Josh Allen. We're going to go to him. Having that option of, we probably have the best quarterback in the game right now is definitely going in the graces of James Cook. I'm calling him out because the Patriots, 13 games in, I'd say about 10, 11 of them, they've allowed under 50 yards to the running back. I think that's going to be an X factor here of, can someone else beat you besides Josh Allen on their offense? And because I don't know if their defense is going to be too much. That's another thing, when you go into, what part of this game. If it doesn't go well for the Patriots, what are you going to mark around? Obviously, you know, turnovers go for any game.
Yeah,
but especially this one in general, you can't turn over the ball against a team like this. I'm not really big on Josh McDermott. I can think he's kind of a suckbag, but at the end of the day, this team has kind of been there, done that. They've won the AFC East the last 5 years. They've been in some big games, even though they've lost most of their big games and big spots, like a game here in Foxborough Sunday afternoon. But, you know, there's a lot of things that could be going the Pats' way. Along with the Bills, I think this game's wide open. The point spread is pretty even. I think that's where it should be.
Yeah, no, and one thing, with Williams out on defense, I think that's going to hurt us a lot, because I think he really closed the middle, and you've got to have people doing that when Josh Allen's a factor. And, of course, with our injuries on the offensive line, they got to fucking step up, because our offensive line definitely was – more like not just more intact, but just fully better and more functional in week 4 or 5, whenever we had played them.
Yeah, they were going off about how good of a game Vidarian Lowe and all them played. And I understand the defensive front for the Giants, but let's be honest, they played the fucking Giants.
So, oh, absolutely. A
different beast. And to your point of Milton Williams, I mean, that's that I said with under 50 yards, that's with him playing. So without him playing, how are they going to look like? Is Kyrus Tonga going to be back? Are they going to, you know, health-wise, they said the only guy who is not on IR who was kind of limited was their third-string running back, Terrell Jennings, this week. So, I mean, that's looking pretty good for the team that's, you know, supposedly injury-full right now after that tough game against the Bengals. But it seems pretty healthy.
And for anyone talking about Lowe and how great he played, I've seen that man have like 5 of the worst fucking games I've ever watched too, man. He was fine last week. That doesn't mean a fucking thing.
The only
I hope so. I hope he has
Darian Lowe is how bad he is. So I'm hoping that he can come up. I heard Morgan Moses today during a break on 98.5. Seems like he's ready to go. Just a veteran. I think he's 35 years old. Seems like a guy who's a locker room guy. Seems to be the presence of that offensive line. So looking forward to that.
One thing I saw, not a big fan of going into this game, since 2021. Bills 8-0 versus teams that have beat them earlier in the season.
Whoa. So that doesn't even include the division either. That includes like playoff games.
I believe so.
Yeah.
The tweet did not explicitly say that, so I can't give you the examples. But I believe that because they haven't lost. They probably haven't lost 8 division games in the since 2000.
Yeah,
so there's got to be a few in there.
To compare from the 2021 season, I mean, the one with Mac Jones where they had a chance to win the division and the Bills kind of thumped them in Foxborough. I mean, there's definitely some similarities, but let's be honest, we have a lot better player under center. I think at least this stage of the game, it seems like they're a lot more better coached. I know that was Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, but, you know, in terms of camaraderie, how this team has come together.
Oh, yeah. No, it should be an awesome game.
For this game, who do you think is a big, you know, and Drake May, obviously, is an X factor in every game the Patriots play. But who do you think is a big X factor for this game going in?
I think Diggs is huge. He's a guy who always gets up for big games. And his best game of the year was against the Bills. He had 146 yards, I think. He's always a guy who's like, this is my old team. Tries to really stick it to him, you know, like, fuck them.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get a better, you know, example to do it this year, most likely.
Yeah, no, that they said today, too, another stat was the only two games where the Patriots were trailing in the fourth quarter. I think it was at least, you know, 10 and some change left, whatever it was, is their 2 losses to the Steelers and Raiders. So, I mean, they haven't been in that – as good as Drake May has looked, they really haven't been in that position before. I'm looking a lot on – you know, obviously want the running game to get going, but, you know, third downs, I feel like Stephon Diggs is Captain Obvious here, but true X factor in this game. You know, is he going to be able to be a good guy to convert on third and short? A guy like Mac Hollins, who's been there kind of all year, is he going to make a big play, you know, on this offense here? I think it would be good. Don't get me wrong. I hope they win 55-0, but I think it would be good. It would come the fourth quarter. They're down by a little bit, and you could get to see a chance in a big stage, you know, to make the playoffs, to win the division, of, you know, come back from behind and start here with a Sunday against the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love that. And character building. And I mean, for some of them, you know, like first big game, like this is the closest to a playoff game some of these people have been in.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, like I said, like Diggs, Milton Williams, who's not playing, but they all have that experience. But it seems like it's going to be a big game in Foxborough come Sunday. I'm hearing maybe some snow.
Perfect.
Yeah, I would love that.
Feed me it.
Has Drake May played in the snow yet? Not any games that have mattered yet.
Yeah, if he's played in the snow, it was like last year against someone. Who fucking cares.
Yeah, I just don't think their defense. I don't think the Bills' defense has a lot to match with the Patriots. Obviously, turnovers would be a big, you know. If Drake May goes out there, throws a couple picks, the running backs fumble up a little bit. That's exactly what happened against the Steelers. That's what happened against the Raiders. I mean, so that you turn over the ball, things aren't going to happen well.
It's just, and especially if you got the weather factor of rain and snow, even bigger factor.
I personally think this is the Patriots' time. I mean, everyone keeps saying it's a wide open door for the Bills this year without Mahomes, you know, possibly not being in the playoffs, Lamar Jackson, you know, outside looking in the playoffs. But I think this is an opportunity for the Patriots, because you're not going to have this easy having a schedule, you know, years going forward. People are going to be circling games, playing with you going forward. You look at the Commanders this year, they're 3-9 with obviously an injured, depleted team, but they looked like you kind of last year. So I think this is an opportunity for the Patriots. The way you got to take it here is this is a game where you kind of have to have, I understand, you know, Ravens, you know, Sunday night next week. Who knows? You got to get through this game. But I think this is not a must-win game, obviously. If they lose, they play a close game. That's great to see. But at the end of the day, you come out here and you win this game. I think you're setting the statement to the rest of the NFL that this team has the capability of making it to the Super Bowl.
100%. I completely agree. And I obviously hope they win. But like you just said, like if they were to lose a close game, this would also be a great like reality check game.
Yeah.
Like, you still got a big game Sunday night football the week after to get your redemption back in a big game. But if you took this one because you've been 10-game win streak, which you can never take away from anybody, a 10-game win streak in the NFL, yeah. But you've beaten fucking eight fucking real, fake teams. So, it would be a good wake-up call. And I think Vrabel would be a good coach in putting that mindset in them if they were to lose, that, like, wake the fuck up. You're not just going to, like, beat the piss out of the Jets. And like, if you really want to go achieve something like you're capable of, like you should do, you got to win these.
Yeah, I think a lot of the good parts of the season so far, a lot of those teaching moments have come in wins. So when they played like Atlanta and they snuck through that one, I'm trying to remember some games down the line here. They didn't play their best football against the Jets. You know, those are games you're happy you won, but I mean, you learn from. It's better to win and learn than get killed.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
I guess it's gotta happen sometime. If I don't think it's gonna happen this week, I think I would circle that Baltimore one. But I think this game is gonna be, you know, a touchdown field goal game. I feel like no one here is gonna come out on top by 14 plus points. I think that I'd be shocked if that happened on either side.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, game picks here. So the line on it right now, let me see my ticker here. The Bills are favored by 1.5 points. I have no idea why they're favored in this game. I guess maybe because most odd makers think that, you know, this is a relative split, you know, just a season series. That's the only thing I can kind of think of where I think maybe the Bills have more at stake. I mean, 5 straight AFC East titles. I just think it's going to come to an end. I think the Patriots are going to take this on Sunday. I got 27-20 Patriots taken.
31-28 Pats.
Ooh, okay. High scoring like that.
Hey, let's go. Let's go. Yeah.
I just don't think there's enough. If you start to, you know, the defense starts to cover the nucleus of Allen and Cook there in the backfield, I don't think there's a lot of guys around, at least, you know, whether it comes to your split or your flex or your, they don't really have a lot of deep threat wide receivers. I feel like the guy who kind of killed them in week four was a healthy scratch last week, and Keon Coleman, I think ex Florida State's gone, right? That's
correct.
Rally. So yeah, he hasn't played. I think, you know, some guy who's going to be a mismatch. You're not really going to see a lot of mismatches, especially the way these corners are playing. Christian Gonzalez is capable of better, clearly. But I think the guy they got from the Bucks there, Carlton Davis, has played a lot better football.
A lot of great football.
You can make an easy case that he's been the best defensive player of like the season for the Patriots.
Special teams too, man. He's all over the place.
And their linebackers, we talked a lot of shit about them throughout the course of the season, but they've really shown up these past, call it 3-4 games.
Outrageously wrong on pretty much that entire fucking core.
Chris put the fucking hurt on Jackson Dart a couple weeks ago. That was great to see. You got to get down there. You get out of bounds or get down. You can't be complaining because someone gets paid to knock your block off.
Oh, absolutely.
That drove me fucking crazy.
And in Dart's defense, he was like, I didn't go down. He was like, it's football. That's fine.
No, but he's going to learn in 2-3 years if he keeps doing that. He's going to be out of the league. Look at guys like RG3 and, you know, get like different guys who just keep taking pain. Look at Lamar Jackson. That dude's already lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, if Josh Allen wasn't a fucking freak, he'd be the same way.
Yeah.
But he's just like a 300-pound freak.
They said they're like only one player who's that they had this stat of like the amount of rushing yards they've had. The only guy who's played over 35 is obviously Mike Vick. Everyone else hasn't, like even Cam Newton. Cam Newton only played till he was, 32? And at 32, he was, I mean, we all know he's terrible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was.
I mean, I didn't see Lamar Jackson lasting long. Josh Allen's a different breed because that guy's huge.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but if Cam Newton couldn't do it, like he's kind of the same. They're kind of the same build.
Yeah, Allen's got a, I don't know. He throws the ball close. At least cleaner.
Oh, no, he's a much better thrower and stuff. We'll I'm just saying size-wise and like
physical. Well, he's got to be, 28, 29 now. So he's getting close to that Newton age where it's like, all right, he's still kind of here. Before we get into the five questions presented by Patrick J. Foley, Drake May MVP odds currently, like he's sitting at plus 200. I think we had the same story 3 weeks ago. Matt Stafford's, favored a little bit, but over him, I mean, stats, I think he's 34-3 touchdown to interception ratio. Rams have probably been the most dominant team in the league with, you know, the schedule they have, if you really want to make the, you know, the comparison between them and the Patriots. So I would give like a little edge to Matt Stafford right now. Drake May comes out and like dominates the Bills. I mean,
absolutely.
This is a parody award. Every week it could be someone different. I mean, someone could steal the show these last 4 weeks and you never know.
Absolutely. Never know.
But if he comes out, throws three touchdowns, he's going to be the favorite going into next week.
100%. And then if he fucking goes off against the Ravens, he might not be a favorite. He might just be the MVP.
He might just be the winner. if he goes out and plays exceptional ball these next two games and they win both, he should be the MVP.
Because they're going to
play the Jets, and then that Dolphins game could be a throwaway. Who knows with the tie?
Yeah, might not even play. Yeah, first half, first quarter type thing.
I mean, we're going to get through Sunday. We'll see what happens Sunday, and we'll go from there. But even the fact that he's even in top three, top five. I remember I was in Charleston, South Carolina last year, and I was, you know, half in the bag at one point, and I wrote 2026 NFL MVP, Drake May. And we're a fucking year early, people. A year
early. Early.
I'm not even going to credit because I think it comes out in 2026. So I'm not even going to be like, oh, I called it. No, I called it next year. I didn't call this year.
So that's so respectable. So respectable. We did not take all the credit.
I'll take some though. I mean, it's been unbelievable to see finally another quarterback under center. I mean, Mac Jones, terrible. The last couple of years have been really bad.
Bailey Zappi, never forget.
Yeah. And you immediately stop. I've like watched, even though they're on like different days, I've like significantly watched less Bruins and Celtics because I'm in. Yeah, I mean,
like last
year, the year before, it was like four win seasons. Even they did like their Saturday game against the Chargers. Remember that last year when it was like a throwaway game? They like matched like that's like what we are on the schedule this year. And like 365 days later, like that. No matter what happens the rest of the season, remarkable stuff.
Oh, like absolutely. Like I said,
don't be happy with where you're at. Get fucking greedy, people.
100%. 100%.
All right, we're going to hop in now to the five questions presented by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for legal, proper representation for first-time or any-time homebuyers, look no further than my guy, Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Any buzz on him? You see anything on social media? Or are you even alive still? I'm not even seeing you.
Oh, I'm gone?
You're back.
I don't know what happened there. Sorry.
No, you're good. Okay. So first question here, I'm going to bring up the bracket, but should Miami be in the college football playoff?
100%.
Why?
All about the U. Second, I mean, it came down to them and Notre Dame.
Yep, and it was
one of those teams won when they played each other.
I think it only makes fucking sense. Solidified it after Notre Dame after got all pissy and they dropped out of their bowl game. Like, right, don't get me wrong, drop out your bowl game, do whatever you got to do. But they did it like literally 2 hours later.
No, like, in seconds. Yeah.
They got real petty. They got real petty right away.
If there was a real argument to be done about the college football playoff, the real argument is that they shafted BYU for getting pumped in the conference championship. And then they did nothing about Bama, who also got pumped in their conference championship.
Yeah, I think they just looked at the teams and were like, this BYU, I've watched BYU. They play great against shitty teams.
Oh, don't get me wrong, dude. Their quarterback wore 47. Fuck them. They wouldn't have won shit. But you can't just smoke them because they fucked off and just be like, oh, Bama got killed. But like, they didn't even move.
Yeah, that's just because their schedule, though. I mean, they won some big games this year. I mean, they in a row, they literally beat Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and Tennessee, who were all at the time ranked in the top 15 all in a row. I don't think any team has more impressive as a resume than that. I'm a Bama guy, but, man, I was a Michigan guy last week, so.
Need a new coach now.
I know, dude. Crazy. That was some breaking news. Looking at the playoff here, though. We have JMU, shout out AIDS from Maryland there. Big part of the show, big guy there. And then you have Ohio State, Indiana. Indiana took the top spot over Ohio State because, I mean, a lot of things happened in that Big Ten game last week, but that shitbag missing that 28-yard field goal was, I don't even know how that guy's still living.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that game proved nothing of who would win a rematch between those two teams.
Oh yeah, no, it's gonna be a coin flip again.
Yeah, like that, like Indiana got that round. Does not 0% means they'll get the next one.
By the way, case of like greatest, call it 2.5 year like helm in college football history, that Indiana coach, like coming in from JMU, what they've lost one or two games the last fucking 2 years. This is University of Indiana. He's getting people going Bloomington, Indiana to play college football. This is
one of the worst schemes in the country for decades.
Like this good guy deserves a Medal of Merit. I don't even know what medal he deserves.
All of them.
He's got a Heisman trophy. Like something good.
Something.
And then we have a couple. So Miami's going to play A&M, which I think is kind of a tough draw for them, considering that A&M was undefeated all season, lost a big game at the end. They're going to go into three-point favorites over Miami. This game is going to be played the 20th. So what's today? So 10 days from now. Yep. So that's
Saturday at noon, baby.
Saturday. Oh, it's a noon game. Noon start.
Noon.
good stuff.
Literally kicks off the day.
We'll get to the predictions, you know, down the line, but is Carson Beck going to shit himself again?
Very possible.
That's fair.
That's not an easy
place.
We're
on the bracket. I'll get back in the questions in a second, but I really liked what Texas Tech had did this year. I thought they were a team to look out for. I mean, they're going to play either JMU or Oregon and then a chance to upset Indiana. I think that's a team looking down the line here where they could make it to, the NCAA championship.
I'm blanking on his name right now, but the linebacker from Texas Tech, RG3, said it was criminal that he wasn't a Heisman finalist. He was flying in that BYU game. Yeah. I think he had two picks, a sack. I can't fucking remember his name right now, though.
By the way, incredible. Do you know where the college football championship is this year?
Rose Bowl?
No, it's in Miami.
Ah, home game. Just got to get through Kyle Field.
Yeah.
And then probably A&M, Ohio State.
Ohio State, you'd have to beat to get there. You'd have to beat A&M, who was just undefeated. Ohio State, who was just undefeated. And Georgia, the SEC champion. Or Ole Miss without fucking Lane Kiffin.
Hey, it ain't going to be easy. Good, I earn it.
No, yeah, no one said it was going to be easy. All right, let's get to question number two. Is Morgan Geekie the best player in hockey?
Yes.
I don't think it's really close. I think he's just been – is he still on the goal thing? He is second in goals right now.
Still second.
22 with 22 behind Nathan MacKinnon. That's unbelievable. They signed him for basically a mid-tier contract this offseason, 27 years old, and he's on the same line as David Pastrnak. Don't get me wrong, but he's been sensational.
Hey, they're talking about him being on Team Canada come Olympic time.
That would be great. I mean, this guy was a third, fourth liner for the damn Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, he was even a third liner for them last year. And this is
you looked at a list of like who's eligible for Team Canada going into this like last year.
No, it's
gonna have been 1,000 names ahead of Morgan Geekie. And now they're talking about him possibly making the team.
That's unbelievable.
Like that, like he jumped 1,000 spots over Canadian hockey players. You know what I mean?
Significant to see, even on the team for a second.
They look good.
They're in playoff position. I think the only team in the NHL that doesn't have an overtime loss. And I still keep looking like every other day, do they have the most losses in the NHL? Because they do. They're second or third.
See?
This is kind of nuts. Well, because everyone has like OT. It's like a funny stat because everyone has like OT losses, but they're sitting like straight up like 18 and 13. That's their record. And then Buffalo Sabres are not in first place. So right now it's the Lightning followed by them and then the Red Wings right now. And then the Canadians have fallen, which is not surprising. God, that's just the shitbag.
We also love to see.
The Maple Leafs are, mid-tier right now. It's still very early on, so we'll see there. Great to see, though. The Bruins are exceeding expectations. At least we're almost half, 10 games from halfway in. So at least unless they stage dive, this could be interesting.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely time. We've hit the point of the season where, playoffs are a real thing.
It's really being talked about. Update on Pastrnak. In comparison to Geekie, he has half his goals. He has 11. Geekie has 22.
Love it. And step then, up. Pastrnak's missed a few games. Step the fuck up.
And then
get McAvoy back.
Is he back? At least, is he back playing?
He's with the team and hoping to come back on this current road trip.
Okay, I remember
he could literally play tomorrow, but maybe I think they play Sunday.
Yeah, he was contact guy, I remember, for like a long – he's a dog, so he just got right back to practice. Pavel Zacha, who I've just hated, has actually put up pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
No, 8 goals, 14 assists. Question number three of – we didn't skip over this, but I got to get more ready for this one. As Sunday best NFL bet, we got our Sunday night and Monday night bets. Going in last week, my Drifters pick of the week was the Dolphins 2.5 at the Jets. I thought it was a no-brainer. The Dolphins just feast on bad football teams. They cannot beat a good football team, but bad football teams, they're all over.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Great call.
Going down the list here. There's some opportunity to win some money this week.
How about the Bucks? Shout out Magic.
Yep. Thursday night football, which I've been terrible on. I'm just gonna stay away from that. Games though, the Bills, Pats, Ravens, Bengals, Chargers, Chiefs. Go down the list here. I'm pretty sure Romo has the Packers and Broncos game, and Brady has the Lions and Rams. If I were to do anything here, I am going to bet on the Panthers on the road against the Saints. I know the Saints are fresh off a quick win off the Bucs, but the Panthers are another team that kind of feast on bad teams. I like the Panthers here on the road against the Saints.
That's also a game I hope you have money on if you're watching.
Yeah. That Dolphins-Jets game, I was around like red zone, and like I didn't watch a lick of that Dolphins game.
No.
But we won. Yeah. It was a big win. Had to get us back on top.
Yeah, I like the Bengals at home. I like them versus the Ravens. I know the Ravens are a bit hot, but I think the Bengals against the Bills last week obviously came up short and lost, but I think they showed that that team they were supposed to be if they didn't lose Joe Burrow for the amount of time is still there. And I think now they're just playing spoiler, and you can pretty much end the Ravens season, like, if you fucking take this down.
If it was another game, they're, like, done.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, honestly, mathematically, the Bengals are not done yet.
No, which is nuts. We've hit that point where it's like, how does this work? But
they're, what are they, 5-8 or something bad? But, like, they all sit at, like, I don't know, call it. Actually, no, I think they're like 5-6-9 or something. 9 losses. So if the 8-9, everyone ends 8-9, probably not going to happen. We're just probably going to do this every year that Joe Burrow gets hurt and then tries to come back. This has been the last 2 to 3 years.
So, yeah, pretty much the whole career, to be honest.
Yeah, the whole career. It's honestly been – he needs a different change of scenery. I mean, that's not the first time that someone said that, but I think he just needs to go somewhere else.
Especially about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool you got your receivers there, but are the receivers there for the franchise? Are they there kind of because you're there? I think they're the second one there.
And you've been there for like 6 years, I think, and they haven't given you one offensive lineman with a damn.
Not one. It's a guy who does the Whitworth there who covers and they actually traded him the year they went to the Super Bowl and they lost to him.
Yeah. I mean, he's the most sacked quarterback by – like when he's playing by like miles.
Yeah. And you look at the Andrew Luck situation with what happened to him. I don't think he's as much as a stiff as Andrew Luck was, but like he's getting in that ballpark of getting hit. So, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, 100%.
Two more games here. We have Sunday Night Football where, oh, wow, kind of a shitty game, but one team needs it bigger than the other ones. The Cowboys are hosting the Vikings on Sunday Night Football here. Dallas is – why couldn't they flex the Bills game, Bills and pass game? That's crazy. Cowboys favored by 5.5 at home against the Vikings. We all took the Cowboys last week because they're another team that's just good at beating bad teams.
Yep. I think the Cowboys win this. I think the Vikings, they just don't have it. They don't have enough. And as much as the Cowboys have struggled throughout this year – Dak has played amazing.
Yeah.
Dak has been absolutely lights out, and I think their offense
– Javonte Williams is like 1,000 yards rushing too. Their offense is the problem.
Exactly, and the Vikings have no fucking offense. So
honestly, besides last Thursday when George Pickens just got dummied by – who did they play last? Played someone good last week. The Lions. The Lions beat the crap out of them.
But that's – I mean, the Lions are really fucking good. That's
part of it. So, I mean – they're hosting the Vikings. The Vikings coming off a blowout win over the Commanders who aren't fully healthy either. I'm going to side with the Cowboys here just simply out of – I think their offense is going to move the ball more than the Vikings' offense. But I'm still not counting on the Vikings' defense. They're pretty damn good too. I got the Cowboys here by a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. And I think when it comes to what you were saying earlier about the flexing thing, there's no way Jerry Jones doesn't have like a contract like – you do not take the Dallas Cowboys out of Sunday Night Football.
No, that's a good point. All right.
Like, there's no chance. I bet you they've never been flexed ever.
Yeah. And then we have another one with Monday Night Football with implications of a team trying to stay alive, winning 5 in a row, and an AFC North leader with 7-6. The Steelers are hosting the Miami Dolphins. Pittsburgh's favored by 3 at home. You know, like I said this in the beginning, Dolphins only beat really bad teams. The Steelers kind of stink, but I think they're good enough to pull this one out at home. I got the Steelers winning by, you know, might even be 3, so might even by the 2.5, but I'm still siding with the Steelers at -3 points here at home.
I agree with you on the Dolphins beating really bad teams.
Yeah.
But the way Aaron Rodgers has been playing the past couple weeks, I kind of think the Steelers are a really bad team.
Yeah, pretty bad team.
I think I might put them in that category right now. I know their record is better than some of those other teams, but they haven't been playing good football.
Yeah,
I kind of like the Dolphins to be an upset here.
Yeah, and in the counter too, like they got way too. I get that's a team in your division that you're like competing for first place for, but they got way too excited after that win last week, being like, "Yeah, we proved you guys wrong. Like, got you guys to shut out." Like. I just want Aaron Rodgers to be gone at this point.
Yeah. And I think, I think the end is extremely near.
I'm starting to rethink my decision here, but I think A-Chain is out too. So I'm going to stick with the Steelers here, but you're making some good points.
Yep. See you, Aaron.
Yeah. Question number four, is Jaylen Brown a legitimate MVP candidate in the NBA right now?
Candidate, yes.
So the last 10 games, he's averaging like 35 points a game. He's not just playing well. I think he's making the guys around him better. They've won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. I just feel like there's a lot of good things going his way, and I feel like he's even, you know, his law of averages from, you know, the past seasons of this season, I think, are going up. You're obviously getting better play by Derek White, who's kind of stunk going, you know, earlier this season. But I think he's definitely a legitimate MVP candidate. I'd like to see the NBA MVP if he's actually even on it right now, like the odds.
He should be on it, and he's all NBA. I think he's playing all NBA level basketball.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go like he shouldn't be like leading when you get the odds up. No, don't get me wrong here.
Yeah, no, he's not even in the stratosphere. I just looked up one. Let's see.
I mean, Luka's got to be one.
So Shea. I mean, they.
Shea's one.
I think they have one loss. Like,
No, you're right.
Okay, she's legitimately 23-1. Jaylen Brown right now sitting. That's got to be at least 15th place at plus 75,000 to win.
Well, like, there's got to be, where's the jump on that? Because it's got to be like somewhere, and then it hits like 5, and then 6th is like $15,000 away.
Exactly. How does the climb happen, though? Do they just win like 20 in a row? He averages 35 a game. I just don't even understand how can someone be fit who's playing as well as he is? How can he be at? I get it. He's not a top 10 candidate. I get that. But plus 75,000, you feel like you should at least put it like 10 bucks on that.
Yeah. Do you dabble?
I mean, is that 10 bucks you're just burning? Most likely. But
yeah, unless you just like
a son of a bitch.
Prayers are answered.
$10.
The demise of the Thunder happens. Like, God, fuck it.
Yeah, no, that's a team. They remind me, I mean, of a younger brand, obviously, but of what the Celtics were a couple years ago. But they're even younger. They have guys to contracts for the next couple of years. That's a dangerous team.
Oh, no. I mean, fucking dude, like, dude, you're not supposed to be 23-1. It doesn't matter what fucking team it is. What era, like, you're like not supposed to be 23-1.
No, and if you look at the other side, it's actually pretty positive for you, because I mean, if you're telling me that Detroit, the Knicks, the Magic, and the Raptors are all in the top 5 with you, I think you can handle any one of those teams, especially if you do get Jason Tatum back.
Oh yeah. But dude, it's crazy. Like, if you look at OKC's like schedule this season, bro, they've played like 2 close games in those 23 wins.
Yeah, no, this is like, we'll see how long it goes, but
the average has to be like 22 per victory.
Yeah. I remember like the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce team, like I think they started off like 23-5. That was great, but I mean, they're even putting up better numbers at this point.
Yeah, I mean, heavy favorite right this second, obviously. Obviously, it's way too early, but like heavy favorite for NBA champs.
Next 3 games will be good tests. You got actually Giannis is not playing with Milwaukee right now, and then you have Detroit Monday night, and then Miami. So all games with competing teams. So that'll be interesting to see. Peyton Pritchard has been good on this team. He's been kind of the number 3 guy. Namus Keita, Josh Mino, whatever his last name has been, pretty good.
Walsh. So, becoming a stud.
Yeah, Jordan Walsh. I mean, he's been kind of the unsung guy of this team to come in. You didn't expect that he was going to get these minutes. But played great defense. He hits open shots. That's what you want out of a role player. He's been great.
Yeah, even getting props from the Lakers, even though that Laker was Austin Reeves, but still.
Yeah. I mean, Austin Reeves averaging like 30 points a game. That's a guy who's like the most improved or whatever you want to call it. Like, that's a guy to look out for.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, he was averaging like 35 over like a 10-game stretch or something like
that. Yeah, I didn't even know. I thought he was like a Caruso, where he was just like happy to be there.
That's what he was.
Yeah.
But clearly now
he's elevated not. His game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then question number five that we usually have every other week. What is the top movie TV show you would bring up first right now?
Let's see. Since that happened, since our last episode, I think I brought up the It Show last episode.
Yeah.
Did you catch Stranger Things, new season?
I haven't yet because I want to like go back and catch the last season because I just haven't seen it in so long.
Yep, fair. Yeah. Fair. But I gave it a watch. It was good.
One for me, which like these Netflix miniseries that can be kind of a hit or miss. This The Beast in Me with like Claire Danes, Matthew Rhys, like it was unbelievable. Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad. Basically about this rich guy who gets hidden in plain sight. And basically this woman ends up doing a story about him and a lot of stuff comes out. Brittany Snow is actually in it too. If you remember Brittany Snow's from the Hunting Wives and what's the other one from back in the day was that John Tucker Must Die. I mean, yes. I kind of had that one in my back pocket.
You knew what you were saying there. Oh, that other movie I've seen 10 billion times.
For The Beast and Me. And then I'll wait till Magic comes on in a couple of weeks. But just finished that Diddy doc. 50 Cent did him dirty. That was fucking sick.
Yeah, dude, you can't mess with 50 Cent, man. It's a death sentence.
It's not like I'm not breaking anything or like ruining it. But like I think a week or like 5 days before Diddy was like fully arrested, he like had a film crew go around with him and like there was a lot of documentation and stuff, and he didn't pay the filmmakers or whatever who like recorded everything. So 50 Cent just bought that shit and gave it to Netflix.
Pretty intense. Yes.
So like that whole kicker of just like the many men thing that just runs in 50 Cent's DNA of just not even just being a hater, just being a fucking asshole. And
oh yeah. He's one of the greatest haters ever.
Yeah. And that's just some of his hating has been like that's a very positive. Like, I mean, what Diddy did is just outrageous. So,
oh yeah, of course. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. The last thing I kind of have to talk about tonight is MLB free agency. I don't know how much more grief I have against the Red Sox ownership. We shouldn't be surprised about these things anymore. No Pete Alonso, no Kyle Schwarber, not getting Pete Alonso today. You lost a bidding war to the Baltimore Orioles.
That's I know. That hurts all of us, man. I don't want Pete Alonso on the fucking Orioles. I don't want him on the Red Sox either. But
yeah, but as good as the Orioles lineup will be, they just don't have pitching and will never. They'll lose games, you know, 10-7, like every other day. But I felt like, you know, with the wife being from Massachusetts, with all this stuff going around, I thought 5 years, what was it, 150 mil? I thought that was like good enough for a guy who was 29, 30 years old. The Red Sox wouldn't even offer them that. I bet the Pirates, they keep saying the Pirates keep offering everyone everything and they just turned it down. Honestly, good for them for doing it. But I bet they even lost. I bet their bet came under what the Pirates were offering.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, in the Pirates case, the Pirates are just like, what can we do to somehow make Paul Skenes come back here?
Yeah, no, he's a Yankee or a Dodger. No, and then you just go out here like.
No, and it's not going to work. He's going to leave Pittsburgh. Like, quit it, Pittsburgh.
No, but the Dodgers, what was their one kind of Achilles heel, you know, during their playoff run? It was not having relief pitching. What they do, they went out and signed the best closer in the market, and Diaz right away. Like, I get that they have the most money left, like, in the league, but, like, the Yankees have a lot. The Red Sox should have a lot. Like, it shouldn't be this hard to get guys that you'd kind of need, where if you had Alonso and Casas as a platoon or even a chance, you know, you get Alonso and you can kind of get rid of Casas, who I fucking hate, by the way. And now they're talking about this Ketel Marte, 32-year-old second baseman that, you know, might be your safe haven. And I'm not counting on Alex Bregman coming back. I think this could be one of those duds where they're just, you know, we're going to rely on the guys we have in the clubhouse. We're going to keep going from there, playing your Yale Magic, fucking Craig Breslow, piece of shit, John Henry, sell the fucking team. Just kind of done with it. It's just all about prospects. We should get Anton on the horn. I'm sure some guy playing for the Lowell Spinners right now is going to be their safe haven.
Maybe. If he'll ever come back on.
Did the Yankees sign anyone?
Nothing extreme yet.
Nothing extremes. Well, they get Garrett Cole back. They're, you know, kind of guys who are injured coming back. You need new shortstop, though. That guy Volpe sucks.
He's not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Yeah, looking at the infield, outfield, I mean, Roman Anthony coming back. Literally everyone's trying to get rid of Jaron Duran. I think that would be, like, he'd be a good trade piece, but what are you going to trade him for? You got Sonny Gray, who is, like, 35, which, like, is fine in our years, but, like, they're expecting him to come in and, what, be the number two pitcher, take over for what Giolito put together for a season last year. I'm not expecting that from him.
Like, he's been good since he left the Yankees, and he hates the Yankees now. Yeah,
and then, like,
so he might have made the right move.
Whoever comes out with these prospect rankings, like, Peyton Tolley is the number one prospect in the Red Sox organization. Like, you saw last year, he literally has one pitch. If you want to make him be the closer, make him be the fucking closer, whatever. We have the big man already. Like, he'd be great trade bait. Unless he develops another pitch, I get he's still young. He's probably, like, you know, early 20s.
Yeah. Oh, plenty of time, yeah.
If you're just going to shell this guy out once every 5 days for him to throw 97-mile-an-hour fastballs over the plate, that's going to get figured out real fucking quick.
Yeah. Like, and then my favorite Red Sox killer.
Yeah, and then the radio and everyone keeps talking about how much Connelly Early does. I'm more of a Connelly Early guy than I am Peyton Tolley guy. This guy mixes it up. He's obviously not Clayton Kershaw, but he's southpaw, has, you know, 4 or 5 different pitches. Just a guy that I think you can really build off in the backside of that rotation. Obviously starts with Crochet, but I really hope that Sonny Gray isn't what they're thinking of. First off, with Lucas Giolito, because he's not that. And second of all, I hope he doesn't have a fall off like Walker Buehler, because, I mean, at that point, just don't even get it. Just leave him in spring training. Leave him in Florida. Yeah.
Crazy how far he fell, like, not even just, like, slandering the Red Sox.
Yeah, he kind of caught on with the Phillies at the end of the year, though. We kind of had a couple good starts. I'm hoping the best for him. Seemed like a good dude.
Yeah.
You got anything else? That I'm kind of closing on the Red Sox here. Yankees, college football. UFC was pretty good last week. It's all about the U. Here we go.
I'm laser focused, man. I'm on the playoff college fucking football.
I'll throw out a quick shout out to our last sponsor here, the Filehouse Cafe, located at 1049 Hancock Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Speaking of going, you know, I guess we have rival bars here to where you want to watch a game Sunday, but if you're looking for, you know, neighborhood pub, great Guinness, great, you know, dinners, great lunch, you name it, they got it. I'm a killer for that prime rib fucking with the au jus sauce there. Actually, it's now I'm presenting it because we're just there. The Nutty Irishman there, shout out Kath from Adam Shore. It's
world class stuff. World class.
It's a coffee. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, is it ice? No, you drink that shit warm. After a couple beers down, you get one of those after your meal. It's unbelievable. You don't even get two. I'm sure they make a good one. They get that coffee machine rolling. So, big standpoint there for the Nutty Irishman. Had to give that a shout out before we close. Anything else?
Hey, 1 p.m. game. You might need a Nutty Irishman at the end.
Before and after. Halftime special.
Good call.
Episode 201, the books. This is first remote. I think it went pretty well. We'll see how this post-production goes. But so far, so good. Hope to maybe get Anton on in the basement. For those wondering, no, I am not in Anton's basement right now. All right, we'll close up.
Let's go. Miami, all about the U, baby.